Every action causes an equal and opposite reaction. You may remember that phrase from a high school physics class. It is Newton's third law. Of course, Newton only meant for it to be applied to physics, to the interactions between objects. We desperately want to make it apply to all of our human interactions as well. We want there to be a basic order to events so that we can have some means of controlling them. We see this whenever something bad happens. If we can just figure out who to blame, what they did, whether that was someone else or ourselves, then we can undo it or fix it, or at least make sure we don't do it again. The bigger the event, the greater that need. Even if it's something well removed from ourselves, we want to imagine that somewhere, someone was in control. Even more, we need to imagine that the cause was roughly proportionate to the effect. This is why generations have struggled with the idea that Lee Harvey Oswald, a lone man, could successfully kill Kennedy and bring about all of the changes that came to our nation as a result. But hardly anyone thinks that John Hinckley Jr., who tried and failed to kill Reagan, was part of some greater conspiracy. We see it now too with COVID, with some people's insistence that it has to be a weapon or something that came from a lab, either intentionally or accidentally. We see it in the people who insist that this is all a plot to do something. It doesn't matter what that goal is. It matters for these people that there is some proportionate cause and someone to blame for all of the disruption we faced. It hurts our sense of justice and proportion to imagine that after a year and a half and more than 700,000 dead, just in this country, there might not be someone to blame. And then we have the book of Job, a biblical challenge to our sense of justice and proportion, a check on our desire to apportion blame. Job is the counterweight to our wish to attribute success to divine reward and failure to divine punishment. The first verse, there once was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil, is the biblical equivalent of once upon a time or long, long ago and far away. It's setting up the story as a fable, as a parable. No real living human, save Christ, has ever been blameless. And even Jesus stopped and questioned God at Gethsemane. This is a story set up so we can think about the theological arguments, which we will hear in the next 2 weeks. Because the people at the time that this story was written were just like us in their feeling of a need for some basic proportionality, some simple cause and effect to the world around them, even as they, just like us, could plainly see that it's not always there. The core question the book of Job presents us with is not, do bad things happen to good people? We know they do. We know that earthquakes, floods, hurricanes, and tornadoes strike the wicked and the righteous alike. Job's question for us is, what do we do about it? We will be spending about 3 weeks with Job, including today, so we're going to do some jumping. This week, we began the story, but then after the first verse, we skipped a chapter. I want us to back up into the first chapter because I want us to have that context when we think about Job's wife. Job was a wealthy landowner with many children and many flocks. And in the first chapter, Job loses all of that. We watch with Job as a series of messengers come to him to tell him that a group of raiders have taken all of his oxen and donkeys, that the fire from God came and burned all of the sheep in their fields, that a different group of raiders has taken all of the camels, and that his eldest son's house collapsed with all of Job's children inside. Job has lost all of his wealth, all of his flocks, and all of his children. All of the servants, even, save only the messengers, have died. I want us to start with that because we need to remember before we do anything else that Job's wife is also a victim. Job's wife has lost everything that he has. Job's wife is only spared the sores on his body in the second chapter. Everything else that happens to Job also happens to her. I want us to remember that because I think too often we treat Job's wife like a bystander, like a casual observer in all of this. At least I hope that that is what most people are doing, because otherwise the historic treatment of her is awful. Generations of commenters and scholars have faulted her for her words here when she asks Job, "Do you still persist in your integrity? Curse God and die." I think we want to read those words and we want to imagine that we are Job, we are innocent and blameless, that we are the ones who stay faithful. When really we're more like the friends of Job. Friends who spend their time trying to find ways to blame Job, who spend their time telling Job that he just needs to repent so that God can forgive him, though no one knows just what Job is supposed to repent of. No, they only know that Job must have done something terrible in order to have deserved all of the punishment that has been laid upon him. They know this because they need to believe that the laws of physics apply to humans as well. Job's wife alone does not blame him. Neither does she discount the power of God. Saying curse God and die is inherently recognizing the power of God to bring about death in response to that curse. We need to hear Job's wife speaking. We need to hear it as not command, but as a cry of pain and anguish. This is her lament. This is her plea for help. The question then we need to ask ourselves is, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to blame her for being angry after the loss of all of their wealth and the death of all of her children? Are we going to be like Job's friends and add our own condemnation to her list of problems? I know for many, the answer is yes. I know that for many, the need to find someone to blame is so great that we will gladly blame a victim if it means that we can maintain our own comfort and sense of order. I pray over the next few weeks that we will all take time to read the book of Job, not just the text that we will read on Sundays here, but the whole book, so that we might be inspired to find better ways to listen and accompany those in pain, so that we might find better ways to accept and express our own pain and hurts. I pray we can find a better way than seeking always to blame. Amen.